Hello, welcome to As We See the Day Approaching. Brother Andrew's traveling and he's enjoying some family time this week. So it'll just be yours truly today. And what I'd like to do is continue speaking about the Bride of Christ. You know, we've received some heartfelt questions and concerns from listeners this week about their personal walk with the Lord. And, you know, they're wondering, are they part of the bride? Or wondering, will they hear the words, I do not know you, you know, from Jesus? You know, what's the difference? What's the dividing line, if you will, between the wise and unwise virgins? So I'd like to pray first over what will be discussed today, and then we'll go over some of this. And I feel led to share a couple more of my personal encounters with him. And they were those that greatly encouraged me at a very critical time in my life. And I think many out there are needing encouragement in this hour. But let me pray first. Father, our Creator God, we come before you. We praise your holy name. Father, we give you thanks for all things and for being able to meet together like this to share words of life from you. Father, I pray you'll anoint my lips to speak only what I hear from you, and that you'll anoint the ears of every listener to hear what's meant for them individually. That, Lord, that each may have a personal an intimate encounter with you. May your perfect will be done in all things. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, to just briefly recap the last two segments, okay, the Bride of Christ, and then last week we covered the seven churches. And if you've not heard, I just say, please go back and take a listen to both those programs, because some of the things I'm going to be, making statements here and there as we go along, they're those that were previously expounded upon in those segments. And I'm not going to be able to recount, you know, all the scriptures again and, you know, the cross references and such. So, and as always, let me preface everything by saying, please take everything presented here before the Lord for confirmation and for further revelation and how it applies to you personally. You know, as discussed last week, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the revealer. He's the revelator of all things. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 4:6. So, please take everything before him. So let's start out with a brief recap of the last two segments. The bride of Christ, is not a metaphor, as some say. No, there is a literal bride of Christ. There is a literal bride of Christ. And all members of the bride of Christ are Christians, but not all Christians are part of the bride. So we talked about also the temple of God, you know, the temple he's completing now, the temple made without human hands, and how this spiritual temple has various sections, right, for different functions and purposes, just as the earthly temple had, okay, because the physical temple was patterned after the heavenly design. There was an outer court with sections for various groups and an inner court. The inner court has basically two sections. The one I'm going to focus on today is the inner chamber, that most holy place, the Holy of Holies. So that place was separated with a thick veil, and it was off base to everyone except the high priest, who only entered once a year with the atoning blood of the Lamb, that he made atonement for himself and all Israel. So this place, as I said, is the Holy of Holies. Now Jesus entered the Holy of Holies at his death, not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all time, having obtained eternal redemption. It said that in, Hebrews 9, verse 12. And in Matthew 27:51 says, at the moment of Jesus' death, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. So Jesus opened the way for us. Many places in the New Testament kind of talk about that, but Jesus opened the way for us. The door to the inner chamber is open again, as it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall of Adam and Eve. It really seems, though, that most Christians haven't grasped the fullness of what Jesus did. He took his own precious blood into the holy place once and for all. You know, he was that perfect sacrifice. But saints, Jesus did more. Even he's always more, right? More. Jesus did more than make a way to be saved by his blood and receive eternal life. He opened the door and is even now extending an invitation to come and commune with him and the Father. It wasn't meant, I said this last time, it wasn't meant for God to continue dwelling in the inner sanctuary alone. So, I want to share something the Lord told me back in 2017. And it was during a time when I had to have more of God. Everything had been turned upside down in my life. And, which actually, it was him answering my prayers. And he even said before these events began to happen, which I didn't equate the two, but he said, pay attention, I'm answering your prayers. But he was answering my prayers to remove anything and everything in my life that wasn't of him, you know, that didn't give him glory. So suffice it to say, the stripping me of everything not of him had begun during this time. And I was seeking him at a much deeper level than ever before. So I'd gotten away to be alone with him for a few days. I had to hear from God. You know, it's one of those times. So I'd gotten away for a few days. I'd been in prayer and fasting at the time. And after a couple of days, I was just sitting still before him one morning. And he said, and let me pull this up because I want to say, I've got this here. I want to say exactly what he said. He said, I've placed before you a new door. I bid you come. Many will not come because of fear of what lies behind. I'm sorry. Many will not come because of fear of what lies beyond. Now, let me tell you, at the time he told me this, all I knew was that I wanted to walk through that door. You know, whatever it looked like beyond. So I didn't really hear that last part. You know, the part of many will not come because of fear what lies beyond. Only now are we beginning to see what that fear consists of. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But yes, all I knew, I wanted to walk through that door. Here I come, Lord. Okay. But him bidding me to come through this door happened a couple months before the proposal. And that's what it's called on my website. But I talked about that a couple weeks ago where Jesus appeared and he asked, will you be my bride? And as I mentioned, I said, yes. I mean, I could barely get that out. I was like, yes. But after that, the morning after the Holy Spirit, when I got up, he repeatedly told me, prepare yourself for him. Prepare yourself for him. He said it three times. Prepare yourself for him. And right away I asked, Lord, how do I prepare myself for him? I mean, I really wanted to know. It's like, okay, was it physically, spiritually, what all do I do? How do I prepare myself for him? So that's what he began to address in my life. He began to address my questions, how to prepare. Now, I hadn't planned on including this dream and word, but right now, right this minute, I feel I'm supposed to. So hold on just a second. I'm going to share a few paragraphs. Someone needs to hear this. Okay, I'm going to read a few paragraphs straight from my website. Okay, let me scan down. I know the part that he wants me to share. Okay, let me just share this. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs. The dream began with me walking towards a large table. As I approached the table, I saw it had photographs and it had writings and photographs, you know, spread all over it. And when I finally got close enough to look down on it, I was surprised to see it was a complete representation of my life. You know, and it was laid out in pieces. They were like strewn all about, and it looked like pieces of a puzzle. And all, you know, I could see that, you know, some of the pieces were beautiful times in my life. And then some of the other pieces, not so beautiful. And then I noticed some very ugly pieces that brought feelings of great sorrow and pain as I looked at them. And it was just then that I became aware someone was with me as I heard a man behind me begin to speak. And the man began to explain to me that some of the pieces I'd not looked upon in such a long time, I'd forgotten they even existed. And he said other pieces had brought such pain and sorrow that I'd kept them hidden away. And then he pointed out the pieces I thought had been lost forever. And as he pointed out all the various parts, my heart began to sink. It became apparent to me that everything was just a big mess. Nothing seemed to fit together, and everything looked torn and fragmented. And let me insert here, I'd actually told God not long before this dream that I didn't see any way that I could be used in the days ahead. You know, I told him that I would need him to do a complete stand-in for me. I mean, nothing in me could be used. That's what I had seen and told him shortly before this dream. So now, just right now talking to you, I'm understanding why he gave me this dream. So back to the dream. Everything looked like a big mess, and I began to cry. And I heard the man say, "Gather up the pieces and bring them to me." So I bent over the table and I scooped. Oh man, I'm telling you, I was trying to scoop up everything, making sure I didn't miss a thing, miss not one piece. And I turned to give them to the man, but as I turned around, I only saw a room directly ahead of me. And then I heard his voice again, "Come into the secret place." As I came into the room, I saw what looked like an altar along the wall opposite me. So I crossed over and I knelt down in front of it, placing all the pieces before it. Now, in the next sequence of the dream, I was no longer on the floor, but I was standing next to the man. And as I was looking down at the pieces, he began to explain what I was seeing. Okay, he said, "There is no schism in the body, and nothing is hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing unclean or broken can stand before me. I will burn with holy fire what does not belong, and I will heal all that is maimed and broken, and it will be made whole." Now, as he said this, I saw blood began to be sprinkled over all the pieces. And then fire and rays of light began to go in and out and around everything until I couldn't no longer see the pieces. And then finally, all I could see was this bright light all around me. Now, I'm going to share, this is one I did have, that I want to share a second dream that was given shortly after this that I was told to combine and share. So let me just share this with you because, wow. It began, and it was during the night, I had this dream, and it began with me standing alone in a room. A feeling of great peace and joy completely enveloped me. And then, all of a sudden, I began to see my body from a few yards away. It's like I left, and God showed me from like a third party watching from the outside, just as an observer. And I could see what looked like tiny bolts of electricity and streaks of fire running along the inside of my body. And I could see this taking place right through my skin. You know, like when you're looking at burning coals in a charcoal pit, kind of what that looks like. And as I watched, suddenly everything changed. Now I could no longer see anything except a glowing light all around the outside of my body. You know, I could tell by the outline that it was me, but the light was so bright, I couldn't even see my clothing. And that was the end of the dream. And notice both of those dreams. One was showing how he puts together all the broken pieces of your life. Okay. First of all the ugly, unclean. What did he say? Well, I'm gonna say that here in a minute. I've got that just a minute here. He says, I will burn with holy fire what does not belong, and heal all that is maimed and broken. So, and then again there, when that light and everything, the blood was sprinkled on the pieces, you know, it eventually got to the point all I could see was a bright light. So those two go together. Now, when I got up, let me say this. When I got up to go write that down that morning, the Lord said, the final acts of the church are at hand. Rise to sit with me at my Father's right hand. You will do exploits. Look only at me. I am your supply, your rock, your fortress. I am your all in all. All the Father has given me, I give to you. Rise up and sit with me until my Father makes our enemies our footstool. Now, let me end right here because it goes into, you know, the interpretation, which is what I'll share along with what God's shown since here in a minute. But going back to what Jesus did the day of his death. Okay, he rent into the veil of separation to the most holy place, opening the door to all who desired intimate communion with Jesus and the Father. You know, in the gospel accounts, especially in the book of John, and I recommend, I mean, the Lord had me camp out for a long time in the book of John, over and over. So anyway, but especially in that book of John, it's made abundantly clear that it's the desire of our God to come and sup with us. He wants to come in and sup with us to make their abode, the Father and the Son, or to make their dwelling with us. And John 14, 23 says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Our God desires intimacy with us. You know, he wants an intimate relationship. But clearly there's something about entering through that door of intimacy that frightens us, you know, that frightens you and me to the point that, as God told me, many will not enter because of fear of what lies beyond. But God offered that same intimacy to Israel when he spoke directly to them from the mountaintop. You know, remember in Exodus, let's see, that's Exodus 20 and verse 19. Remember what happened? I mean, they told Moses, you speak to us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. You know, because of the shaking and the quaking of the mountain as God spoke, they were afraid they might actually die. Their flesh was terrified. And it's the same today. Our flesh is terrified. You know, the closer we get in intimacy with God, there's a point we come to where the Lord makes it abundantly clear. We can come no further unless and until we're ready to lay everything down at His feet. You can have a superficial relationship. You can abide in the outer court if you want. But to go into the inner court, you know, you've got to be ready to lay everything down at His feet. You know, as I was told by Jesus, gather up the pieces, gather up your life, bring them to me. And saints, that's everything that must be handed over to Him. And as He says, nothing unclean or broken can stand before me. I will burn with holy fire what does not belong. So we give Him, in essence, we give Him permission to strip us bare of anything not of Him, to go through those fires of purification and cleansing. You know, let me just quote a piece of the vision and word I shared a couple of weeks ago, because it fits right here, the process of entering, you know, coming through that open door. Just picture this. Just picture this for a minute. Jesus entered this most holy place in heaven with His own blood. Picture Him bringing it in there to the Father as payment for sin once and for all. He also rent into the veil. He rent into that veil that separated the Holy of Holies, opening the way for us. Jesus entered this secret most holy place by His death. And His bride may not enter the chamber any other way. You know, to enter, she must die completely to self. She must die to her plans, her worldly ambitions. Saints, we must die to everything of this world. And as she enters the chamber, she enters as a dead woman, offering and pouring out her very life to Him. Brethren, this is why many will not enter. The reason, you know, Jesus has to finally shut the door on the foolish virgins and spit the lukewarm Laodiceans out of His mouth. Because many will not enter in because of fear. It's the same group. He doesn't know them. They refuse to enter into the intimate relationship with Him while they had the chance. Now, I want to insert here something, just because we're talking about this group. That open door is going to be shut soon. And many will be told, I don't know you, by Jesus. But in God's great mercy and grace, He tells this group, those foolish virgins, and He tells the Laodicean group that spit out of His mouth, He tells them to go buy gold tried in the fire. And those who follow His instructions, those, you know, who persevere and overcome, along with many others during the great time, the great tribulation, during this time coming up, they will become that innumerable multitude that appear before the throne of God in Revelation 7, verses 14. Excuse me, I'm sorry, that's verses 9 through 14. And I wanted to state that because a lot of folks believe the foolish virgins and, you know, those spit out of Jesus' mouth are lost. Oops, they didn't make it. Doomed to hell. But not necessarily so. You know, if they follow the instructions that He gives them, go buy oil, go buy gold, tried in the fire. But as I was saying, because of fear of what lies beyond, you know, intimacy, getting too close to Jesus scares most, you know, because of what they may have to give up for Him. You know, the things they may have to suffer for Christ. And we know it costs. Intimacy does cost, not in money, but your time, You know, it costs your time. Sometimes it costs you relationships with family, as we've all experienced. It costs you friends. And it can cost you your physical life. But, I mean, look at what it's cost those before us, you know, the saints in the Bible, the various trials and tribulations they went through, and those going through suffering this very moment in various locations around the earth. And to tell you the truth, I can totally relate to this fear, you know, this fear of death. The first time was when God revealed his existence to me. You know, I was in my early 20s and wasn't raised in a Christian home. You know, I considered myself an atheist, you know, stupid me, an atheist. But I won't go through it, but he proved to me that there had to be a creator, that life only comes from life. You know, he brought me face to face with the first law of biogenesis. You know, life only comes from life. Let me tell you, I was stunned and I was in awe for weeks, you know, that there was indeed a God over all this. You know, but you know what the first thing I thought was, you know, not too soon after that awe, I thought, what does this mean for me? What does this God want from me? So there you go, you know, that fear of what's it going to cost me, right? I'm sure most, if not all of you, can relate to that. And then much later on, you know, not, matter of fact, it wasn't too many years ago, when going through a very, very difficult and trying time, you know, it was some heavy persecution from the enemy, from family, from friends. I went to the Lord and very honestly, I asked him, I said, Father, being a Christian is very difficult. Lord, it's a hard, hard walk. What would make one to go through, you know, to want to go through this? You know, what's the draw to cause people to want to follow you? And to be truthful, you know, I wasn't just thinking about myself. I was just, you know, being honest about what I was thinking, but I was thinking about the future harvest, you know. I was thinking about evangelism, you know, as, you know, we're sharing Jesus and that. You know, the Lord has since, you know, he has since continued to hammer me about keeping my eyes focused ahead on him. He's always, since that time, you know, he drew my focus to be kingdom-minded and oriented. You know, we're talking about eternal life, not just this moment, not just this brief moment. But he began, thankfully, he began giving glimpses through dreams and visions of the days ahead. You know, I've shared them. But he began giving those glimpses of when calamities begin to fall, you know, and death and destruction are all around. His hidden ones will be sent forth. He showed, you know, as Romans 8:18 says, the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, all creation is pointing towards this event. You know, the clues. Look around us. Look around us right now. They're all around us. Paul said in Romans 8, that's verses 19 through 22. He said, all creation is literally groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation and revealing of the sons of God. And saints, it's only by entering this secret place, you know, going behind the veil, that a complete and total transformation will take place. It's that second dream that God gave me showing that transformation of my body. And when it was complete, all I could see was a glowing light all around me. This is how the glorious church will do even greater works than Jesus. You know, the glory of the Lord will be upon her. Isaiah prophesied of this time when gross darkness shall cover the earth. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Gross darkness is covering, beginning to cover the earth. Deep darkness covering the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. As Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. And when the bride emerges from this secret place, the glory of the Lord will be upon her, and she'll walk and be sent forth in the fullness of him. Saints, the Lord's telling us, he's telling us, right now, the final acts of the church are at hand. He's bidding us to come, rise, to sit with me at my Father's right hand. You will do exploits. Only look at me. I am your supply. I am your rock. I am your fortress. I am your all in all. All the Father's given me, I give to you. Rise up and sit with me until my Father makes our enemies our footstool. The Lord's calling his bride to share his innermost intimate chamber. You know, it's that bridal chamber where the two become one. You know, he'll indwell her and work through her in the great harvest ahead. Oh, Lord. Wow. Praise God. And back to what I said in the beginning, you know, those questions that some have asked, and, you know, like, how do I become part of the bride? You know, being concerned and afraid. I mean, it's very sobering to think about being told, I do not know you. By Jesus, you know, what's the difference between the wise and the unwise virgins? Those are the things I'm hearing right now. Those are the things many of you are wondering, oh, because you don't want to be part of the unwise. You don't want that door shut in your face, right? But the answer to all these concerns is one word, intimacy. Intimacy. We need to get to know our bridegroom and allow him to know us. It's that exchange, you know, talking to him in prayer. You know, pray without ceasing all day long. Talk to him all day long and listening to him through his written word. And the Holy Spirit will even remind you of his word as you go along the day and different things you go through. It's learning to hear and recognize his voice above all the other voices and all that noise going on all around us. You know, spending quality time together with our bridegroom. And the word says, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. So enter into that love. You know, entering the bridal chamber, that place of intimacy, is where we finally enter the rest of God, you know, intended for his people from the beginning. So I pray that it just helps us to see that it's intimacy, how we enter in, you know. And it's that fear of what lies beyond, you know, that fear of dying to self, that fear of being crucified in Christ. We could go through all those scriptures that keeps many back. They're afraid of what they're going to have to give up. So I hope that answers questions, those concerns. I think this is a good place for to conclude, you know, where to conclude today. You know, I want to thank our Father. I want to thank our Father for making this time together possible. And may he ask, I'm just going to ask that he keep all of us in his perfect peace. Lord God Almighty, keep us in your perfect peace, those who fix their minds upon you. So I just encourage all of us to keep our minds kingdom-oriented, eternal-minded, right, in the days ahead. God bless all of you. Until next time.